This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Alright everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday morning, January 21st, at the time that we are recording this. And Damon, today we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to be previewing the two New Beginning shows that are taking place next weekend, a jam-packed weekend of pro wrestling, I might add. Saturday, January 27th, Sunday, January 28th from Hokkaido. We've got two big cards to talk about. Damon, you're going to be giving your thoughts on Fantastica Mania from earlier this morning. But first thing I actually wanted to mention, big congratulations to our buddy Eric for making it into the Observer.
Did you see that? He loved it. He was very happy.
I just saw that this morning, actually. I got a chuckle out of that.
Yeah. Dave's been putting that real hero Takayama drive over big time. So, but thank you, David Meltzer. We know you listen. He sent me that. He was laughing. You know, it's a, when you're never going to get in a ring and perform, it is kind of funny when you do make the Observer. Even when you do perform, I'm sure there's plenty of people who still to this day get a little smile on their face when Dave mentions them. So, yeah, that was nice. That was nice. I did see that little paragraph. So good job by Eric, as always. Good job.
Yeah, and you've got to figure, too, that Dave really appreciates the Real Hero Archive as a whole, as well as the All Japan Archive, because they're both just tremendous resources for people who want to follow Japanese pro wrestling.
Yeah, at this point, Dave, I don't even think Dave watches a ton of, like, I don't think he's sitting in front of the tube watching every Big Japan show. But
no,
if something major happens, he knows it'll be up there as soon as it's, you know, airing in Japan. So, there are plenty of wrestlers and plenty of people within the business that will message Eric about that Real Hero Archive, and you know it's a tremendous resource. It's free. It's the qualities of the shows are tremendous. Most of them are close to HD or however he can get them recorded. It's just really nice to have somebody, and it's a hard work, you know. He's up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Him and I got to give credit to Morton VH, I believe he is on Twitter.
Yes,
he does a lot of that as well. He helps Eric out big time on that archive. So, it's hard work. It's not easy, and it's an awesome resource. So if you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, people, you should by now, I would hope. But
I think everybody does for the most part.
Yeah, and it's weird, you know, Meltzer, and even everybody, even Kevin Kelly was kind of dancing around what exactly the Real Hero Archive is, you know, because you can't say, well, it's a place where you can watch All Japan for free, you know.
It's an illegal Google Drive that features copyright material.
Yeah, I don't even know about the legality of it, to be quite frank. And here's the thing. People from promotions would come up to Eric and me. Well, I mean, I would be with Eric, but he would go. And pretty much say, hey, you know what? We know you're doing this, and we appreciate it. Just if we ever get a streaming service, can you not put up our shows? And he's like, yes, absolutely. If you notice, there's hardly any New Japan on there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that he put up one Fantastica Mania show from this past week because it was not on NJPW World.
Right. It was on Samurai.
Right.
So, you know, if they have a streaming service, Eric's not going to put up the show. That's really what it is. DDT is not on there anymore. At least I don't think. But if, you know, if they air a show, Stardom, we don't put Stardom on there.
I wish you would, but
I kind of do too. Every year when I go over, After the show, I'm like, I could get into this. This is fun. I mean, it's light. It's nothing heavy. I could get into it. But yeah, I mean, but the Big Japan stuff, and the All Japan stuff, it's fantastic. I mean, I'm stupid because I still pay for it. I get everything that Eric gets. But I'm just like, why am I even doing that? Why not just get it off the archive? The good thing about the archive is that it's recorded so that I can download it, save it, and then watch it whenever, right? With the knocked over my microphone. With the streaming, the IPTV Japanese television service that I have, it's almost like a DVR, like it archives stuff for 7 days. So even if I miss it the day that it originally airs, eventually I can go back and watch it. But after 7 days, it's gone. But the Real Hero Archive has shit for, since, Christ, 2016. So, again, we're putting over the Real Hero Archive. But it was just funny how, like Kevin Kelly had to dance around, like, what exactly it was. And even Meltzer's kind of like, can I mention what this really is? But it is. It's a fantastic resource. And Eric works with a lot of the promotions that kind of say, hey, you know what? We're giving you free exposure, And here's the thing, too. Samurai, you can stream Samurai. You could pay if you live in Japan. But if you don't live in Japan, you can't pay. It's silly. It's like the New Japan Fan Club. Like, you need to have a Japanese address and a Japanese credit card, and they won't take your PayPal or your American credit card or your British credit card. That's silly.
Why would they not want to take your money? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I have no fucking idea. I don't know. I have no idea. I would pay. I would pay them directly and have zero issue doing it.
I mean, if we charged for this show, what sense would it make for us to say to people in Europe or people in Asia, no, we don't want your money.
Right.
We're only accepting money from people who live in the States.
Right. Canadian. We want to. What are they called? What are the dollars called? Not roofies. They're not called roofies.
Well, you probably know all about that.
I don't know anything about it. I don't know nothing about it. You know what I was thinking, though?
From personal experience with yourself getting roofied.
That's
what I
meant. Well, remember the Vegas thing?
Exactly. That's what I was kind of alluding to.
Yeah. That was not my best moment. Trust in that, dude.
You get yourself into some sticky situations, my friend. But
all right, Real Hero, let's give it up for them. Again, Google Real Hero if you don't know what the hell we're talking about. You're in for a treat. A lot of pro wrestling to sink your teeth into.
Well, hey, Damon, listen. I am going to be completely open and honest with our listeners.
Uh-oh.
Fantastica-mania is not my favorite time of the year in New Japan Pro Wrestling, to say the least, because these shows, to me, what they are is CMLL runs some shows at Korakuen that feature some New Japan talent, and they are completely inconsequential to the rest of the year. Like, these shows, in the grand scheme of things, are going to mean nothing when we look back on 2018 in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And not only that, I personally do not feel qualified to even talk about the bulk of these matches because I don't follow Lucha. It's just not something that I'm into. It's not something that I can speak intelligently about. It's not something that I'm educated on. And looking at the card from the last Fantastica Mania show, there was barely any New Japan talent even on the card.
Yeah. Well, I'll agree with a lot of your points. The Lucha Libre is not my cup of tea as well. It's really not. I kind of find it, you know how people have the issue with the over-choreographedness of it? You know, how it feels just very over-choreographed. I feel that, but I also feel like sometimes it gets, and I don't even know if it's supposed to look like this, but it feels sloppy. Like, it just feels like there is always, like, messed up moves and people out of sync and weird timing, and like I just can't wrap my head around that well, especially when there aren't New Japan talent in the ring. Now, with that said, the main event last night on last night's show, this morning's show, was pretty good.
Which was Volador Jr. Versus Barbero Cavernario for the NWA Welterweight Championship.
Yes. So that match, I would say, if you're looking for that, see, to me, that match would fit very comfortably in on a, and I put it in the old air quotes, standard New Japan show. Like, to me, that could fit right on in. That had no problem.
Volador Jr. is somebody who we all know and who we're all familiar with from Best of the Super Juniors, right?
Was he in Best of the Super Juniors?
He's been in Best of the Super Juniors before, absolutely.
But also, we've seen a lot of these guys, Dragon Lee's on these shows.
Yes.
Who else is on these
Ultimo
shows?
Ultimo Guerrero, I feel like we're familiar with Rush,
yes.
However you want to say it.
Yes. So it's not like, and these are the same guys that come over every year. They don't really switch it up that much. So you get familiar with them. This is like, what, the fourth year, fifth year of this? So you do get familiar with them from that, but I'll be truthful. I don't watch them throughout the year. Like, it's this time of year I see them, and I'm not going out of my way to watch the CMLL.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Did anything at all happen on these shows that is going to have any impact whatsoever going forward in New Japan in 2018? Anything?
Not yet. No.
And the answer is going to be no. Let's be honest. At the end of the day, when these shows are done, the answer is going to be no. And
but that's okay. I mean,
and
that's take a little...
Listen. I'm not saying that to criticize these shows or demean them or belittle anyone who enjoys them, because I'm sure that there are many people who find these shows fun and entertaining. And for what it's worth, I think that is their intent. These shows are more so to entertain than they are to build stories going forward.
Correct. I think the proof in that pudding is look at the crowd. That's the one thing I do enjoy about these shows is the crowd is into it. I mean, they treat Cork and Hall like it's Arena Mexico, and I dig that a lot. I mean, if it's got the masks on, they got the air horns, the chants. I do like that. I'm not going to lie. Again, the in-ring is it goes over my head a bit. It feels like it goes over. It's just not my cup of tea. It's not my style I enjoy. With that being said, I did enjoy the matches, and I hate to be that guy, but I did enjoy the matches with the New Japan guys a lot more than I did when it was just CMLL guys.
All two of them.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, they had Shonyo. You had Taguchi, who had plenty of ass play on this past show. Seems like that's all it was.
Hip attacks, Damon.
My bad. Who else was on this show? Kushida was on this show. Even Rocky Romero had a cameo outside the ring with Roppongi 3K. And Los Ingobernables. You know, the whole Los Ingobernables crew, minus Evil and Sonata. It was Bushi, Naito, Takahashi, and Rush.
Yes.
No Tanahashi, right?
No Okada.
Yeah, no Okada.
No Kenny Omega.
No Bucks. No, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and I could be wrong, because I haven't looked at every single lineup from this tour. But there hasn't been a New Japan title defended on any of these shows, right?
I don't believe so. And, I mean, nor should there be, really.
Not even a Never Six Man?
I mean, sure, you could do that. You could do a Never Six Man, a Never Trios title match. But beyond that, what we're really doing is building towards all of the title matches at New Beginning.
Right. look, a lot of people are home, right? Juice is in Chicago, right? I know that for a fact. Doug Fowler having a great night hanging out with Juice, as a matter of fact, last night. If I'm not mistaken, Fale and is in New Zealand. Michael Elgin is home. Bucks are, you know, so everybody's kind of gearing up for other things, it feels like. And that's fine. It's a break in the action. They need it. They had a long – after World Tag League and then going straight into the Dome, you know, they deserve a little break. I got no problem with that. But, yeah, these are lighthearted shows. They don't really mean a lot in the whole New Japan calendar year. If you take them for what they're worth, they're easily digestible, right? You don't have to really know a lot about the cast of characters in CMLL to enjoy the shows. Because the show I watched, I enjoyed. It's just not my cup of tea.
And let me ask you this. Do you even feel qualified to go through these shows match by match and talk about like Puma and Disturbio versus Drone and Star Jr.?
I mean, I could tell you what I liked.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's about it. I could tell you that. I could tell you that, you know, if at the end of the day, I was like, this is a good, I felt like this was good. You know, I would watch this again. You know, but that's, I mean, I can't get deep into it. Like, I can't get into the subtleties of a feud, right? I don't know. You know, I can't help you there. But here's the thing, too. And I will say this to our benefit, because, again, if you're looking for hard-hitting Fantastic-a-Mania commentary,
not going to happen.
You might want to skip this show, right? You might want to check out somebody else.
I really don't think that people are, though. And that's another thing I'm trying to say. I think that most people who are tuning into this podcast right now are here for our New Beginning preview. I really do.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I haven't heard much buzz at all about a lot of these shows. Truth be told, what I have heard is are people saying, "Hey, anybody watch these shows? What any good matches I need to be on the lookout for?" Like they're not going in by themselves, right? They are the New Japan fans that, you know, they'll watch anything. That's cool. And again, I watched the show and I enjoyed the show. I would say main event was something that I don't know if necessarily you want to go out of your way to see, but I thought it was really good. And I really, again, I feel like as much as we're saying, I can't get into the Lucha style, it's not for me, blah, blah, blah. Colin, that main event of today's show, that's a New Japan main, I'm going to say main event, but you could put that easily after an intermission on any show, and it would fit just in. It would fit right in.
And again, that's a match featuring two guys who I feel like the majority of New Japan fans who have been following this product for the last 2 or 3 years have more of a familiarity with than they would with a lot of other names on these Fantastic-a-Mania shows. But at the end of the day, these shows are up on NJPW World. If you want to check them out, you've got nothing to do. Want to watch some pro wrestling, they're there, they're easy to get through, they're lighthearted, they're fun, but do not feel that you need to watch these shows in order to follow the New Japan product going forward in 2018, because you don't.
You don't. But here's the thing, we still have a show tonight, and usually the last show, and I remember last year, Colin, I was raving about that last night show, right? The last night at Cork and on the Fantastic-a-Mania tour last year. That was a good show. I remember. It was good.
You were raving about it so much that it wasn't even a nominee for Show of the Year.
I don't think
that's how much you were raving about it.
But as far as Fantastic-a-Mania shows go, that was a good show. Obviously the best of the lot that year. I would say let's see what happens tomorrow or tonight. Right. Let's see what happens there. I think I'll watch it. I think there'll be some strong matches. You don't have the lineup in front of you, do you?
Yeah, I do have the lineup in front of me, actually.
All right, give me the top matches.
Well, the main event is the CMLL Brother Tag Team Tournament, the final.
Brother. Okay. And then what do you mean? And who are we going to recognize? Give me some names we're going to recognize in some top flight matches here.
Well, Damon, I mean, the main of the semi-main is Kojima versus Rush.
Well, that was set up on this show. So in that, there was a multi-man tag. Kojima was on there on the opposite side against LIJ. And there was a little bit of after-match extracurricular activity with Rush and Kojima, right? So that set that up. So that's okay. So
okay, so what does that mean? Tell me what that means going forward.
I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe Kojima takes a trip. You know,
he did.
Bread. Huh?
He did.
Maybe he does it again.
Okay, I heard it didn't even really go over that well the first time. It wasn't really a great fit.
I mean, look, if they're writing a check, it's a good fit.
Well, if you look at it from that perspective, but yeah. Listen, I'm looking at this card right now. Damon, we've got Bushi, Takahashi, and Naito versus Drone, Sabernaro Jr., and Volador Jr.
Okay.
What are we going to say about that? What are we going to say about that? What does that mean building towards these big shows next weekend at New Beginning?
Tom, are you trying to tell me you're not a big fan of the Drone? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I'm trying to tell you that I'm not qualified to talk about Lucha. I'm qualified to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm qualified to preview these New Beginning shows, which I'm very excited about next weekend. Then we've got another one that sold out well in advance in Osaka at the Edeon Arena, featuring the Okada versus Sonata match. That is the stuff that I am very excited about.
All right. So, listen, I'll bite the bullet. I'll watch the last Fantastica Mania show. I'll give you the night off. And I'll let you know if there's anything you need to see. For right now, as it stands, main event of today's show, check that out, kids, that if you haven't done so already. But yeah, it's Fantastica Mania. Again, lighthearted, out of context, is what it is. Fun shows? Yeah, I'll go so far as to say fun shows. But yes, in the New Japan calendar year, it's doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot. Hey, and listen, tomorrow, Kawato's last match before he goes out on excursion, speaking of Mexico,
that's
right?
That's right. That is very exciting because Kawato, he's going to be one of the best. And man, a few years in Mexico, I'll tell you what, when this guy comes back, he's going to be unbelievable.
He was in that six-man tag. He took the fall, right? Or multi-man tag, might have been with Los Ingobernables on the other side. Colin. He got lit up by Takahashi, Hiromu Takahashi, I say. He got lit up. His chest looked like hamburger meat. I felt so bad for that kid. He got brutalized in the corner. Chest just tore to shit. So he's going out. He's going out. He's paying his dues on the way out. But that speaks volumes, doesn't it? What New Japan thinks. That's a quick excursion in my eyes. He hasn't been a young lion that long.
Yeah, I was surprised when I first heard about it because, like you, I thought to myself, geez, has he even been a young lion for that long? Like, how much of Kawato have we really seen? You know what I mean? And yeah,
not that much. Yeah.
So, like you said, for him to be sent on excursion this quickly, yeah. That speaks volumes. I feel like a lot of people seeing him, what you have mentioned on this podcast before, in that he reminds you of a young Keishi Yamada. Yep. This is just a guy who has all the tools to come back and just be unbelievable, like I said. So very exciting times in the life of young Kawato.
He makes selling fun. Like he has those facial expressions. I'll tell you what, the worst thing they can do And not to say that they would, but just I'm just throwing it out there. Don't put this kid under a mask. Don't bring this kid back under a mask. Because one of the best things about him, besides his energy, besides his high spirits, are those facial expressions. When he does get brutalized, it's great.
I hope he comes back as Super Liger, personally.
You know what? There have been whispers. I have heard some whispers about something along those lines. I don't think that they would. I think Liger is one and done. I don't think it's going to be a Tiger Mask situation where there's multiple incarnations of a Tiger Mask. I think that would be I think multiple Ligers would be and again, I'm speaking as a fan too. We all know that.
I agree with you too, because to me, I don't know if this comparison is going to make sense to anyone at all. I don't even know if it's an accurate comparison, quite frankly. But to me, Liger has always been almost like an Undertaker figure in New Japan Pro Wrestling, in the sense that he's been around forever. He's a locker room leader.
He has Sarah tattooed on his neck.
Exactly. What? He has Sarah tattooed on his neck. The whole bit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the people that I talk to that are in that locker room have each individually said that. Like, one of the weirder things about New Japan, and when I talk to a lot of the guys, it's they don't know what the fuck's going to happen month to month, right? They really have no idea. So it's not like I can be like, hey, are you winning this fucking belt at New Beginnings? Or, hey, what's happening down the road? They don't know, which is weird to me, but... Okay, that's just how they do business. They're very close to the chest with a lot of that stuff. They don't want things getting out, I gather. So they don't even tell the talent a lot of times of what's going to happen until they show up in the building that day. But to a person, each of those people are like, well, the people that probably do know are Nagata, Kojimas, and Ligers. I mean, and they have the most experience in that locker room. So, he is... that locker room leader, I would think, especially when it comes to juniors. But he is that type of presence in the company, which is, I think, is well deserved. Yeah, I think that would be a big mistake. I don't think they should pass the torch of the Liger gimmick to anybody else. I think that once Liger retires, which will be in probably 2057. The way he looks and the way he feels and the way he wrestles and the gimmick, because the gimmick is great. It hides every imperfection. Once he retires, of course I'll be there. I'll refi the fucking house if I have to. It's going to be a big deal, and it should be a big deal. It should start and end with him.
I've said before, Damon, when we're doing the Purocast in 50 years and I'm an old man and you're just like a head in a jar,
right?
Like a brain in a jar or something. I'm quite confident we're going to be reviewing shows and saying, all right, first match features Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask. Right. Liger is he's going to be around, you know, he's going to be around for a long, long time, I think.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one of those guys that you're going to see for a long time. Yeah, I would agree. He's coming to California, I think, in March, I saw. Was that Pro Wrestling Revolution is the group?
Oh, I thought you meant the Strong Style Evolved show in March.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll be there as well. I'm kind of surprised I haven't seen him on the Fantastic Mania stuff.
Yeah, because that's right in his wheelhouse. Goofy Liger, goofy Uncle Jushin Liger.
Yeah, Uncle, that's an Uncle Jushin wheelhouse
for sure.
Fantastic. But he's coming to state, so hopefully he'll make a little East Coast swing, and maybe I'll see him again.
Well, you know what show he is going to be on, Damon?
What is that, Colin?
He is going to be on The New Beginning in Sapporo, taking place Saturday, January 27th, and I think we should get into previewing both of these cards.
I think so. Correct me if I'm wrong, Colin, you did mention a sellout, right?
Well, the sellout, I don't know about the Sapporo shows, but the Osaka Show, which is taking place on February 10th, which features the Okada versus Sonata match for the IWGP title, Goto versus Evil for the NEVER title, Ospreay and Takahashi for the junior title. That sold out at the Edeon Arena 4 weeks in advance, so they're going to have 6,000 plus in that building.
That's good. That's good news. I mean, Osaka's a big-time pro wrestling town.
Have you ever been there?
For like 10 minutes, maybe.
Because correct me if I'm wrong. I heard that it's almost like the comparison between Osaka and Tokyo. There's almost like a cultural difference in a way, and the language that they speak is a little bit different in Osaka. Like Osaka Japanese is different than Tokyo Japanese. Am I talking out of my ass, or is there any validity to what I'm saying?
There is, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I might be confirming you're talking out ass. I mean, I wouldn't know if anybody's speaking, you know, a different form of Japanese to me, to be honest.
I heard that like the dialect is a little different there.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's kind of, you know, it's almost, you know, how it is here in the States. You know, you talk to somebody from Boston, you know, and somebody from Alabama, and you put them in a room with an Australian, the Australian's head's going to spin. You're like, what the fuck? Is this the same language?
You put Damon in there with his New Jersey dialect, and
I don't think I really do have a New Jersey, do I?
Nah, you don't. Nah.
But because here's the thing, it's not like everybody who, when I say, yeah, I'm from New Jersey, and it's like, I guess they're expecting like the Jersey Shore kids, you know, those maniacs.
Is that still around? Snooki?
I'm sure Snooki's still alive, right?
I guess.
Snooki needs to be a guest appearance on a Wrestle Kingdom show, right?
I think that this was the first Snooki reference on the Purocast in its 3-year existence, which is kind of surprising to me in a way.
Were you a fan of the Snook?
I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but listen, we've brought up some goofy pop culture figures in the history of this show.
I gotta be honest with you. I kind of like the Snook. I don't know.
You're down with the Snook?
I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but like, I don't know, that Staten Island-y, I don't know. There's some, you know.
Should we get her on the show? Should I like reach out?
You think she'll talk a little New Japan with us?
Yeah, sure. Why not? What the hell?
She'd be like, what? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, she probably has a poster of Jushin Thunder Liger right over her bed frame.
She probably has the picture of me and Jushin Liger over there.
Right from the book, right?
That's right. That is correct. Bought seven copies of it. I'm a maniac.
What an animal. But
what do we got here, Colin? We got a New Beginning show. It's a new beginning, fresh start for New Japan, and some big-time matches. What do we got?
Yeah, we got some huge matches, actually. Do you want to start from the bottom up?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, so the first match, I get a kick out of this. It's Elgin versus Kitamura. And I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, wouldn't it be something if Spear, Jackhammer, Kitamura wins? I mean, that would speak volumes, would it not?
I think Mike is back for another year. So,
okay.
So I wouldn't, you know, I think everything's pointing in a Michael Elgin win there.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah. You really think no?
I'm kind of hoping for a Kitamura victory.
Really?
I'll be honest with you. What are they going to do with Elgin in 2018? Seriously. Like, what? You know what I mean? If they haven't pulled the trigger on this guy by now as, you know, one of the top gaijins, to me, he's not. I'm sorry. And that's not to take away anything from him as a wrestler. I think he's a great pro wrestler, but what's he doing here? What's going on?
Well, I mean, there's only so many spots, right? So, I mean, until Kenny Omega cools off, which ain't going to happen anytime soon, and until, he signs somewhere else, which, again, ain't going to happen for a couple years.
I think next year.
Well, he signed until 2019, right?
His contract expires January 2019.
Okay, so, I mean, we got a little time. We got a little time. And I don't even think he leaves then.
I hope not.
I really don't. I hope not either. I mean, but
I think it's a possibility, though. I'm not going to rule that out. I think it's a strong possibility.
I think it's a possibility. But here's the thing. Right now, and again, we'll get back to Michael Elgin in a second. Right now, Omega's on top of the fucking world. Is he going to make more money than he's making now in WWE? Possibly. Possibly, but he's got the sure thing right now. He could pretty much set his own schedule, right? I mean, the Hot Topic shit ain't hurting him any. He's the biggest non-WWE guy out there right now. When he signs and people know he's at the show, that building's getting jam-packed, close to sold out. He can command a high price. I don't know. Tell me what the benefits are. Tell me what the benefits are of going to WWE.
Getting to hang with Xavier Woods and play video games, I guess. That's the only thing I could think of off the top of my head.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but he does that now.
Yeah, I think he does do that now.
I don't know. So, to me, the freedom that he has, could he be the guy in WWE? I think he could. I mean, why not? Sure.
Tell you why not, pal.
Let's start with that fucking hair.
Poor Ricochet.
Look, he'll be fine. Everybody's going to be fine. Listen, everybody's adults. Everybody, they weigh the pluses and the minuses. I will say this. I'm a guy who does it once a year. The flight's brutal. There's only so much flying to Japan you can do before, oh, my God, right? I mean, I talked to Kevin Kelly, and I'm like, how the fuck do you do it? He's like, lots of coffee and naps, and you just push through. I was like, man, this one is killing me.
We're going to take that cruise, remember?
I looked already. It's impossible. The problem is the distance from across the Pacific. That's the problem. You'll be 10 days at sea.
That's all right.
I don't know. I might get a little, I don't know if it's claustrophobic is the word, but it'd just be like, okay, more water. Yay. Can we drink some more? Is the bar open? Okay, so Omega. Yeah, so could he leave? Yes. But truth be told, I mean, he would be a star. I mean, the travel would be lighter. Those are the pluses, but right now I don't know if that outweighs the other stuff. Elgin, again, he's going to take a back seat, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, to Kenny as the number one foreigner. Right? He ain't bumping Kenny Omega, that's for sure. Now, with War Machine gone, could he be, I mean, who else besides Kenny Omega? Cody Rhodes? Cody Rhodes is a part-time guy.
I see Cody Rhodes as a bigger star in New Japan than Elgin right now.
I do too.
I see Juice Robinson as a higher gaijin. Damon, listen, he's way ahead of Elgin on this card right now. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
He's jerking the curtain, right? He's jerking the curtain.
Yep.
What's Juice doing on this show?
Juice, we'll get there. But first, I'm looking at a match right now that is right up Damon McDonald's alley.
All right, but first let me give a prediction on this. Elgin wins, right? I think Kitamura is he goes on an excursion too, winning that New Japan Young Lions Cup, right?
Yeah, and he absolutely should go on excursion as soon as possible.
His clock's ticking. He's the oldest one of the group, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, he's like in his 30s, right? I like to see him come over.
He's 32, actually.
Okay, so I'd pay to see him. Sure, why not? It'd be fun. But I think Elgin gets to win here. I think it's a slam dunk. I can't imagine. I can't imagine a Young Lion pulling that one out.
Kitamura comes back, by the way, from excursion, I want him booked where he just comes back and smashes people, just steamrolls over them. I want him booked as just this unbeatable monster. That's how I think you book a guy like Kitamura.
Did you see Dave writing about how New Japan apparently was in talks with Goldberg?
Damon, I did, and I got a bit of a hard on. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yes, that is right. That's right up my alley.
You take Kitamura under the wing, right?
Yes. Yes.
You see that in World Tag League. That'd be a nice little World Tag League, wouldn't it?
That would be awesome. I am all for that, but, you know, as you read, you know, Goldberg's doing the Hall of Fame gimmick, and that requires them to sign a short-term deal, so that might put the kibosh on those talks for the time being. But yeah, I'm when I read that, my eyes perked up.
Down below. All right, let's keep an eye on it during World Tag League. That might be a nice little spot there. That'd be fun. All right, what's match number two here, Colin?
Match number two that I think is right up your alley, since you're such a big fan of the Suzuki-Gun Juniors. This match, here we go. We've got a 10-man tag. We've got on one side Kushida, Tiger Mask, Liger, Kojima, and Tenzan versus Taka, El Desperado, Tai Chi, Kanemaru, and Azuka.
All right, Azuka can get up the fucking street. We don't care about that.
The rest of them, though.
Yeah.
You love Suzuki-Gun Juniors.
I do. I think they've been they carry. And what match is it, Colin?
It's
match number two,
yep,
right?
Match number two.
I always say, if there's going to be nonsense, let's do it here. I think this is going to be a fun match.
I agree with you.
I think
so,
too. I
think it's
going to be balls to the wall. And they had a nice little sprint at New Year Dash. That was fun. Okay, you're right. I'm into this. I'm into that.
I told you.
Azuka, fuck that. Yeah, hey, I survived. I told you I was going to stand up to that motherfucker.
Yeah, you did.
Didn't I tell you that? And I couldn't believe he was coming my way. And Eric was egging me on. This is at the Dome show, kids. You know how he goes through the crowd. And I'm like, again, I have a couple pops in me here. Long drinking day.
Soda pops.
Yeah. Strong zero pops. You know, he comes out in the crowd and the spotlight is following him. And Eric's like, if that motherfucker comes over, you ain't moving. That's what you said. I was like, all right, let's fucking do it. Lo and behold, here he fucking comes, Colin. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. If he comes over, I can't move. Here's the thing, too. I really couldn't move. I had nowhere to go. Thank God the barricade was there.
You want to talk about the irresistible force versus the immovable object. And you can decide for yourself which one's which.
So he's coming by, and I'm like, I'm like, the ring is that way. Get the fuck out of here. Like, that's the ring. Get over there. And he walked right by. So it was funny. It was one of those magic moments. And who sent the screenshot, Colin? Was that Paul Whitmore?
Probably. I can't remember who it was, but it cracked me up when I saw it.
Couldn't believe it. Another. I have a lot of Wrestle Kingdom moments. There's 40,000 fucking people in that building, Colin. A camera always seems to find me, whether it's Kota Ibushi, whether it's Azuka. Look, I know where to go. All right. I'm into this match, Colin. Do I have a prediction? I'll go with the Suzuki Goon nonsense. I say they pick up the win. But again, I'm always a big fan of these matches. Second match, plenty of action. I mean, it'll probably go 5 to 8 minutes. Who gets the fall, Colin? Who gets the fall?
Well, if you're saying that Suzuki-Gun walks away victorious, then I would say El Desperado gets the win. However, I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to say that... that the babyface tag team wins, and I'm saying Kushida picks up the fall.
Okay. What is it? Kushida, Tiger Mask, Liger, and who?
Kojima and Tenzan. And I'm saying Kushida picks up the fall because, listen, we've got to do something with him. What are we doing with Kushida? I feel like we need to... eventually this year, he's got to have... he's going to have another junior title match, right?
Yeah, he'll be in the mix, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right? So let's heat him up a little bit here.
All right, I'm going to change my prediction. Kojima being in the match, being the heavyweight, he'll get a pin on one of the fucking juniors. Take your pick. Doesn't matter. I'll say Tai Chi gets the pin on.
So you're saying Lariato 1-2-3?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Sounds about right.
All right, I don't know if you're going to be too psyched for this next match. We've got a tag match with the team of Yano and Ishii versus Chase Owens and Yujiro.
I'll tell you, Chase Owens has impressed me in the past, I'll give it 6 months, right?
Hey, he had that little run in the New Japan Rumble at Wrestle Kingdom, right?
I'm truth be told, besides the finish, right? Besides the heartwarming finish.
That was the most memorable thing wrestling-wise about that Rumble.
Yeah, I agree. So good for him for being able to stand out. And, you know, he's got 30 guys that are trying to shine. Good for him. It's Chase and who now? Chase and...
It's Chase and Yujiro versus Yano and Ishii. And I have some thoughts about how this match is going to go down.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that we are heating up Ishii for the New Japan Cup.
Yeah.
I think we're heating him up for the New Japan Cup. I see him versus Okada at Sakura Genesis. Finally, we're going to get that rematch from what was to me the match of the year from 2016.
Mm. You think a guy like a Jay White could use that New Japan Cup win?
No.
No, I think he's all right.
Well, look at how the New Japan Cup has been booked the past couple years. It's never been really used as of late as a launching pad for like a Jay White or somebody like that. I mean, right. Shibata won it last year. Naito won it the previous year.
Right.
So
it
no,
is kind of like a middle of the road. You're like, I tell you, you know who could use that? You just mentioned him, Big Mike.
Yeah, but he—that's not going to happen.
Okay,
I'm just going to be frank about it. That's right. No, Michael Elgin is not winning the New Japan Cup.
Okay. You're going Ishii, huh?
I'm going either Ishii or Ibushi because those are two guys. Who could have stellar matches with Okada at Sakura Genesis. And they're also guys that would be, easy challenges for Okada. Well, not easy, but you know what I'm trying to say? Great. Yeah. He can have great matches with both of those guys and retain the title.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're going to have a strong match with, it's a calendar turner. Yeah. Yeah. It gets you from point A to point B. Down the road.
So I think that we're in the heating up Ishii process right now.
Okay, what's up, Benny? Do you think Yano and Ishii are in the tag mix? You're saying no.
My God, I hope not.
Listen, who we got?
In the heavyweight tag mix?
Yeah. He lost two tag teams in less than a month.
Well, who's gone? War Machine's gone?
Yes.
Who else?
I don't know if KS are gone, but...
Yeah, that's a gray area.
Yeah, gray. We'll call it gray. We'll call it gray area.
I just... Yano and Ishii... It's possible. It's probably likely, actually, but I'm not into it, and I think that most people who are fans of Tomohiro Ishii... he's so beloved, I feel. I don't think that most people who appreciate Ishii want to see him chase the tag straps with Yano. I just don't see people clamoring for that. I think people want to see Ishii in grueling physical singles confrontations, and I think that he's a front runner for the New Japan Cup this year.
Okay. He won it before with him, right?
Yeah.
No, just saying.
Not too excited about that, though.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this as a side note. What are we doing with the tag straps then?
Why not do something?
Who's challenging Evil and Sonata?
What's Juice doing? What's Finley doing? What's Beretta doing?
That's the third one is the one that has me like, oh, okay, what are we doing? Beretta's the one. I like him a lot. And I'm worried about that one. I mean, to me, it's Omega, Elgin, Juice, and then it's everybody else. That's a long ladder to climb.
Are we talking strictly heavyweights here? In the ranking of the Gaijins?
Yeah.
Okay. Because if we're ranking all of the Gaijins, I mean, obviously Omega's first. Dude, I'm not putting Elgin second. Osprey way
now,
ahead
Osprey's
of Elgin.
A junior. But Colin, again, he's a junior. He's a junior.
Yeah, he is a junior. But if we're ranking all of the Gaijins in New Japan right now, I mean, who are people more excited to see, Elgin or Osprey?
I don't know,
man. I'm looking at this card. You're talking about Michael Elgin like he's this.
No,
like he's
I'm
the
not.
Number two guy, and he's opening up the card with a young lion.
He's not.
I just don't see it.
Is Beretta above Michael Elgin?
I'm more excited to see where he goes in the course
above,
of this year than I am Elgin.
Is he above Michael Elgin?
As a singles pro wrestler? As a singles heavyweight pro wrestler?
In Japan. Not skill. Z.
With a Z.
Pecking order. Yeah, what is it? Pecking order.
Probably not.
Okay. Right. That's fair, right? I think it's fair. It is what it is, right? As of right now. Is Juice or Elgin? Pecking order.
Juice is higher up on this card. That's all I'll say. Okay. Way higher up on the card.
I mean, the card does speak for itself. I don't know if he's higher than Michael Elgin. Michael Elgin's a former IC champion.
Yeah, he is. A long time ago.
It was a while ago. All right. Well, what's third
in 2016? But
16. Wow, that was jeez, that was a while ago. All right. Well, what else is on this show, Colin? Sounds like a good show so far.
Yeah. Never open weight six trios match. We've got G.O.D. and Fall A, the champions, defending against Taguchi, Hinare and Makabe. I'm gonna say we see a title change here. I think that this is a great opportunity to kind of heat up Hinare a little bit.
Gives Toge Makabe something to do as well.
Yes, gives Taguchi something to do outside of the junior division.
And I'll tell you what. Speaking of tag division, I hate to say it, but it does free up G.O.D.
Well, like you were saying earlier, War Machine gone, KES, we don't know. Again, who's left? G.O.D. G.O.D.'s, they're the old standby, it feels like.
That's why I'm saying Ishii and Yano sounds like it's going to happen.
I mean, they could do that for a little while, but... You know, once the New Japan Cup rolls around, that nonsense has to end.
That's February, my man. That's a handful of days. It's a handful of days.
Let's do it for a week.
Week?
I'll give them a week.
All right.
No, okay. Seriously, though, I'm just not into that tag team. I see bigger things for Tomohiro Ishii in 2018. I feel like New Japan recognizes that, and I don't think I'm out of line in saying that he's one of the most popular pro wrestlers to the American audience, I think.
He's up there, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at Ishii was in the top five for Wrestler of the Year in our year-end awards.
Oh, I mean, listen, nobody's disputing the fact that he can fucking go. There's no doubt about that.
I feel like they have to recognize that if people want to see Ishii having great killer singles matches.
You know what I like about Ishii? And I was talking to a British pro wrestler Friday night who chopped the shit out of my chest, Colin.
Is it Marty Scurll?
It wasn't Marty Scurll.
Oh.
And we were talking about Ishii and his time in Rev Pro, and we were talking, and we were even comparing him to Shibata. And he was saying that how, you know, again, everything that Ishii does is very safe. You know, it's a hard hitting. Like, you go back and watch that Keith Lee match. It's hard hitting. But it felt like everything was safe. Like, Ishii really does a great job, he was saying, of protecting his the guy he's working with.
That entire match was basically built around one move. It was built around Ishii hitting that brainbuster. That's what the that's what the whole match was built around, and that's why it was so great.
Yeah. I mean, he is he hits hard, don't get me wrong, but he is very safe. And we were kind of comparing that to a Shibata, who, you know, we were kind of both in agreement that to us, I said this before, you can go back and listen, there's no secret. Shibata felt reckless at times.
He did.
And I know there were people that, you know, a lot of people that I talked to said that, you know, Shibata is one of those guys that was, you know, a pleasure to work with. I don't know. I just kind of go back to that headbutt spot. I'm unfortunately, and I know Ishii's throwing a headbutt or two in his day, but just go back to that fucking headbutt spot, man.
I feel like guys like Ishii and Goto, though, as far as headbutts, like they do really good looking worked headbutts.
Yeah.
Whereas Shibata just took his skull and bashed it into your skull.
Right. And again, that can go either way, man. Imagine if that were. I mean, and this is not a knock on Shibata. So please don't take it this way. Here it is with me saying how to take something, but imagine if that was Okada. Imagine if that was Okada who got the other end of that.
Yeah, your entire franchise just down the drain from one reckless spot.
Yeah.
That's scary. Yeah. That's scary to think about.
That did feel very much like a reckless spot. All right, enough of that. All right, but Ishii, you're saying going on in the New Japan Cup. I'm saying we might see him in more tags.
And you're saying never trios title change.
Am I saying title change?
I am. I am because, you know what? I'm all for that now because that frees up G.O.D. That could give them something to do. And this is a good position for not only Hanare, but like you said, Makabe and Taguchi. So the reoccurring theme for these Never Trios title changes is why not?
Yeah. Hanare gets his first title. What's his name? He's got a new name, right? Is he Tonga Hanare?
He is Toa Hanare.
Jesus Christ!
Do you like his new getup?
No.
it looks like it almost reminds me of go back to Fantastica Mania, Cavernario.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems, you know, it's kind of like, of course you're doing that. You know what I mean? It's just like, does everybody have to do that who comes from that region of the world? I mean, I don't expect them to come out with fucking bagpipes, but, you know.
I think he should.
The Irishman, Hanare!
Speaking of Irishmen, that leads us into our next match here. We've got a six-man tag featuring the team of Finley, Juice, Kota Ibushi versus Marty Scurll, Hangman Page, and Cody. First thing that's on my mind looking at Kota Ibushi, Damon, do you think he's going to be let back into Budokan this year?
Ah, that was a question. And again, they are doing G1 in Budokan. I mean, I think everybody's kind of like, well, they're doing repairs in Sumo Hall. I can't never pronounce Ryugoku, so I call it Sumo Hall.
Ryugoku.
Thank you. But I do still think that business is good enough that they can move to a bigger building. So I think it's twofold. Let's put it this way. I think the repairs couldn't have come at a better time. They're going to do it then.
Yeah, I'm stoked that they're doing Budokan, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they'll do the whole Cheap Trick album.
Right.
One of my favorites. Hello, Tokyo. Yes, he will be allowed back. Listen, they had riots in fucking buildings, and they're allowed back in. You know what I mean?
I don't know anything about. I've never been to Japan. I don't know. I don't know much about their culture, and I'm not saying this to disparage anyone. But doesn't it seem like you can get punished and banned in Japan for like doing the most like ridiculous things that are totally inconsequential? Like,
listen,
you know what I mean?
He was told not to do the fucking moonsault.
He did a moonsault off of a balcony, and he got a lifetime ban from this arena.
Right.
All right. I mean, it was a pro wrestling show, but.
Right. It does seem silly. Right. I mean, again, and from at the outside looking in, it is an odd thing to be banned for. I did a moonsault. You did what? Like, you say that to anybody else in any other walk of life, they get you did a what? What? I don't even know. What does that mean? Yes, I think he will be back. I think the ban will be lifted, and Kota Ibushi will be allowed to perform. Now, he might get a stern talking to, right? Don't pull that nonsense anymore. That moonsault, knock it off. But yes, I think he'll be back. I think, listen, if they allow Paul McCartney back into the country, if they allow, look, times have changed. I think bygones can be bygones. So fingers are crossed.
So hey, anyway,
Steve Williams was allowed back in the country, right? Fucking Dr. Death. Terry Gordy was allowed back in the country. I mean, I'm sure Baba pulled a lot of strings on that one. Baba was very influential. You know, when I was over there, and you know how you just talk to random people, you're just sitting there, and they're so friendly, they'll come up and, you know, we're like, you know, monsters over there, so of course they want to talk to us. Like, why are you here? You know, pro wrestling. And they're like, ah, pro wrestling. And they would always say two names. Baba would be one of them. Baba was, when he died, that country shut down. It was amazing. And two, they always say Stan Hansen. To everyone, Stan Hansen.
Do you think that he's the biggest gaijin in Japanese history?
Japanese history? You got to think, you know what it's kind of like? You know how, like, when you go, especially in the States, when you go into the States and it's like, you know, you're talking to a coworker or, you know, somebody, a mutual friend, and they're like, oh, you like pro wrestling. Ah, I remember pro wrestling. Bruno Sammartino.
Right.
Or
Ivan Putski.
Ivan Putski is that name that will always come up to, like, the non-pro wrestling fan. Of course, Hogan. But nobody brings up, like, Stone Cold, Steve Austin. Nobody brings up The Rock. Everybody will bring up Chief J. Strongbow or Ivan Putski, right. And I think that's really the equivalent. I think there were a lot of kids in the 90s that watched wrestling that got out of it. They're now older in their 40s and 50s. And they just remember Stan Hansen. They just remember fucking Stan Hansen. So I just think that's a weird kind of thing that to almost everybody who wasn't a pro wrestling fan now, when you said we were there for pro wrestling, the first two names that they instantly came to, not Inoki, Baba, Stan Hansen.
You know who people bring up to me?
Who's that?
Chief J. Goto.
Chief J. Goto. Nobody brings that up. Every once in a while, I'll see that online and I'll smile. I'll be like, ah, that was us. That's a pure cast original right there.
So what do you think they're doing with this tag match here? Again, it's Finley, Juice, and Kota versus Skrull, Hangman Page, and Cody. Looks like we're continuing with this Ibushi-Cody feud, right?
Why? Why would we want to do that? I think this is a Bullet Club win. It's Juice, Kota, and who?
Juice, Kota, and Finley.
Well, there's your answer right there, right?
There you go. So are you saying Crossroads on Finley?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3?
I think it's fair to say. Poor David Finley. You know, there's a thread on Reddit right now about basically what we've been saying for years. How David Finley just needs a change of pace. He needs something new. Maybe one day.
Maybe an excursion would do him good.
That's what we were saying. Just take just a couple months away. Got to be somebody that'll take him. Come on.
He should go somewhere obscure too. That like nobody else has gone. He should go back. He should go to Germany.
Germany's pretty hot, actually.
I've heard. Listen, we have a lot of listeners in Germany, actually. I was surprised. I was looking at the statistics for the month of January. Guess who the number three country was?
I'm going to say Germany.
Yeah, you're Damon. You're right on the money. It was Germany.
Wow. Lucky guess there. Listen, I'm a big fan. All right. How about that band? You know, ever hear the band Division? D-E/Vision? They're like a Depeche Mode ripoff. Oh, they're really good.
I'm more of a Halloween fan.
Yeah, you like the metal. They like their metal over there, don't they? Them in the Scandinavian countries. What is it with the death metal in Scandinavian countries?
It's their roots, man.
How did that happen?
Because the Vikings of old, they played heavy metal. So I'm just making up history, by the way.
the Vikings, when they pillaged, they were listening to Overkill and Testament.
Yeah, Testament and Exodus and all that old thrash metal. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they had that on, right?
Yeah.
Listen, that's a soundtrack to Maine, that's for sure. Listen, if I'm going to do some burning of villages and pillaging, I think a little death metal is appropriate, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not going to pop on that fucking menswear CD, that's for sure.
No.
Oh, I do have a new musical obsession, by the way, and we'll get right back to the wrestling. What are they called? They're an Australian band. DMK, is it? Maybe I'm thinking the tag team. DMAs. Dude, they are. Oh, I'm such a huge fan. They sound like a modern Oasis. That's why. Great. DMAs, kids, get into them.
I tried to Google that, and the first thing that came up was the Department of Medical Assistance Services, Medicaid for Virginia.
Well, do the band. They look like trash, to be honest with it. They look a little rough. They don't look like a cool band that I would be into. But the tunes, oh, the fucking tunes are there. DMAs, great, from Sydney, Australia. How come my Sydney people didn't clue me in on these people? That's what I want to know. Where the fuck were you people? I had to find these guys myself.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Australia, of course, New Japan headed to Australia, and it sounds like the early ticket sales are doing quite well.
Yeah, they're going to do Melbourne will do very well. Apparently. They're doing real well just in pro wrestling in general. Sydney should do well.
They've got Omega on that card. Jay White's going to be there.
Yeah.
Should be a big show.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure the Tanahashis and Okadas and all those guys. Yeah, they'll do well. I have no doubt that they'll sell out. Get your tickets quick. They'll do well.
Another guy who is trying to make a home for himself in Australia, of course, our young Will Ospreay. From the UK. He's going to be teaming up with Yoshihashi on this New Beginning card to take on Takahashi and Naito.
Takahashi and Naito against Ospreay and Yoshihashi, you say?
Yeah, and Naito, of course, the Tokyo Sports MVP once again.
Hey, listen, he was, what was he, third for our voting? He was Wrestler of the Year for us the year previous, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Tokyo Sports is somewhat odd.
They pick a lot of matches, actually, for Match of the Year that I wouldn't always necessarily pick as the front runner.
Yeah, I remember one of the matches of the year a couple years previous was that Okada Tenryu match. Remember that? And again, that was Okada just putting on his best Shawn Michaels performance, to be quite honest with you. Tenryu could barely move, and it got up there. But again, I think that was more of a I don't know if sentimental is the word I'm looking for, but it was more of a legend versus rising legend, and I think that's what made it. And I think that's plays a huge importance in the Japanese pro wrestling world. So, but yeah, they are kind of a little strange in their awards. Yeah,
logical booking for this match, though. I think we're going to see. Well, listen, we're trying to build up the Ospreay versus Takahashi match taking place in Osaka on February the 10th.
Yeah.
So it would it be possible? I mean, I know one's a junior, one's a heavyweight. Could we see Takahashi pick up a win over Yoshihashi?
No.
Okay.
I don't think that'll happen. I think
who's taking the fall here then? Because we have. Yeah. At least three guys in this match, Ospreay, Takahashi, Naito. You're not going to have any of them lose.
You're going to have Naito pin Yoshihashi.
Okay. So it is going to be Yoshihashi taking the fall.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I think Destino. I mean, of all the guys that are there, which one is disposable? Fucking Yoshihashi.
Yoshihashi.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now he is. That's the one person, and he's taking that fall, yeah.
And speaking of match building, that's what a large part of this card is. Third from the top match here, we've got Ghetto, Goto, and Okada.
Ghetto!
Yeah, Ghetto. The Playmaker, Ghetto. They're going to be taking on Bushi, Evil, and Sonata. So, look, we're building towards a lot of matches here. So we've got the big Goto versus Evil match, right? For the NEVER title. That's going to be in Osaka. We've got Okada versus Sonata. So on both sides, one guy's got to take the fall. It's going to be either Ghetto or Bushi.
I think you know the answer to that fucking question.
So you're saying Ghetto's taking the fall?
Yes, in so many words, yes.
Via, I'm going to say,
come on,
Sonata taps him out.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's...
Makes sense, right?
Yep, you want to make the challenger hot going in. Yes, I would say that's the logical step. And again, keep in mind now, Colin, again, that I did bring this up, I believe, last week. Again, one of the unwritten steps to Sonata getting his shot here at Okada is that Okada said, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you a shot at this, but how about me and Goto and you and Evil, we line it up for these tag straps. So that might be down the line relatively soon, so I'd be into that. That will be a fun match. Which also kind of, you know, again, I don't think many people are looking at Sonata walking away with the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, but it does add another extra layer of interest, but it does kind of solidify in my mind that Okada's walking away.
Could you imagine if that happened, though? If Sonata defeated Okada?
I mean, it would go really against the grain, wouldn't it?
Oh,
it
would, big time.
Yeah. Here's what people are speculating, of course, is that it goes so against the grain that, yeah, this makes sense to happen. You know, it's so out in fucking left field that it would be the perfect thing to do just to keep everybody on their toes. They don't do that with the heavyweight title. You know, they might do that with a NEVER title. They'll definitely do that with the NEVER six man. They might even do that with a junior. They're not doing it with the big boy belt.
Especially since it screws with my booking of Ishii versus Okada, which is what we're following here, by the way. We're following my booking for the rest of the year.
Colin's got this one? Absolutely.
It'll be the most successful year that New Japan has ever seen.
What show is Daniel Bryan coming in?
after he wins the Rumble,
okay,
he is going to enter the New Japan Cup.
Okay.
No, I don't know where I'm going with that yet. We'll see.
You're still working out the details.
Working out the details on the Daniel Bryan and the Bill Goldberg matches and the Shawn Michaels Tanahashi match.
Oh my God.
Still working on all that. But anyway,
looks like I'm not going to Wrestle Kingdom this year, kids.
on a serious note, though, the semi-main event should be awesome. So it's. On one side, we have the Elite. You know who they are, right?
The Elite.
You know Elite. They're going to be taking on Sho and Yo and Jay White.
Fuck. So Omega and the Bucks against White and Sho and Yo.
Yeah, that's right. This has all the makings of being just a great match.
Yeah, I'm just talking into that.
Just a great balls to the wall 6-man tag.
Are we getting T-shirt, Kenny?
No, I don't think so. I shouldn't say that because, I mean, he is defending the title the next night.
We might be getting T-shirt Kenny here.
But it's not going to be, look, we might get T-shirt Kenny, but I don't think it's going to be, like, jokey Kenny necessarily.
Okay, what color tights? Oh, multicolor tights or are we getting black tights?
I do see some pink. I see some tassels. I see a little bit of pink. Oh, you might be right.
Okay. But here's the thing, though. Even with that said, I think it's still going to be a great match. On paper, it sounds tremendous. It really depends upon what kind of effort people want to put in. Third from the top, too. And here's the thing, too. It is Kenny building a feud right now with Jay White, right? So he's got to have a little extra motivation there, right? He's in the ring with his best friends, right? Pardon the pun. Show and Yo, always good. And Jay White's got a little bit something he's got to prove, too. I think this matchup will be very good. I don't necessarily – you might get T-shirt Kenny, but I think we'll be happy at the end of the day. I think we're going to circle this match as one of the best of the evening.
Who's taking the fall here? Show and Yo?
One of the Bucks, maybe. Or the Bucks tag champs.
I don't think that the Bucks are taking the fall because, I mean, they're going to be – Actually, you know what? It is conceivable that one of them could take the fall because they've got to defend the titles against Sho and Yo. That might be interesting if Sho and Yo pins one of the Bucks to kind of, you know, lead into their title match. So, yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, I think one of the Bucks take the fall. I am excited for that match, though. I will say that. That definitely has my interest peaked. And again, we haven't done numbers of excitement. But I'll throw a solid 8 or 9 into that one. On paper, that sounds really delicious.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of a match that sounds very delicious, the main event for this New Beginning show on the 27th, we have Tanahashi defending his IC title against Suzuki. And Damon, the last time we saw Tanahashi versus Suzuki in a singles match, I believe was August 10th, 2012 October 2012 at King of Pro Wrestling.
Right. Tore the house down. Look, these two are pros. Here's one thing that I really like. Both these guys are resting a little bit. Tanahashi, you ain't seen him on these Fantastic-a-Mania nonsense things, right? I ain't seen no Tanahashi. Suzuki, you're not going to see him on this. I like this. Let's rest up a little bit. Let's prepare for this. I said before, I think Suzuki's a perfect challenger, should I say. I'm excited for this. I think this could be great in a singles match. New Beginning seems to be a nice place for Suzuki. He seems to shine in these situations.
Yeah, look at last year, that match against Okada.
Yeah. I think this will be very good, kids. Now, here's my question. Title change.
That is an excellent question. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes. Wow.
Yeah.
So Suzuki is going to be the IC champion.
I got a feeling.
I mean, there's a lot of it, in a way, I hope that that does happen because in my perfect world in New Japan, Tanahashi would drop the title in order to rest up a bit until, say, Dominion. That's what I would do. I'd have him take a break until then. I mean, you don't need him until Dominion.
How about him and Juice as a tag team?
Or you could do him
and Elgin. How about him and Elgin as a tag team?
They're not sticking Elgin with Tanahashi.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Damon, the vibe that I get, I mean, I could be way off. What do I know? But the vibe that I get is Elgin's just not that, they're not that high on Elgin right now in New Japan.
They're okay. We'll be fine.
All right.
Take my word for it.
Okay, I'll take your word for it, but I still don't see him in a tag team with Tanahashi. But yeah, that is another option for Tanahashi. Stick him in a tag team like that. Personally, again, perfect world. He's resting all the way until Dominion after he drops this title to Suzuki.
Okay, I'm down.
I don't think he wants to do that though because he's a maniac. Yeah,
he is a maniac. I think if you that would freshen up the tag thing, right? Tag situation. Get another. It would help rest Tanahashi a little bit, right? I'd rather see him in some tags to kind of take a little bit of the wear and tear off. I think the IC title is a, I think it's a burden at this point for him. I think it's a burden. Let's get it off of him. Get him in some tags. Have him challenge Sonata and Evil. Pick a partner. I don't give a fuck who. Right, you could put a Juice in there. You could put an Elgin in there. You could put whomever. whatever you want.
You know what I think that they should do? And again, I don't know. I see Tanahashi, you know, continuing to want to wrestle in singles because, again, he just has that mentality. But you know how last year's Suzuki match against Okada, he just tore apart Okada's leg. I would love to see Suzuki really exploit the shoulder and the arm of Tanahashi, and to almost do like an injury angle where Tanahashi is just written off for a while until he makes his triumphant return and challenges Suzuki for the rematch at Dominion.
Yeah, you know that's not going to happen though. I mean, the guy
probably not.
The guy gets hurt at a TV taping in Philadelphia, rips his bicep, and he continues on and does, you know, everything that he did. I mean, the guy was in the fucking World Tag League, for crying out loud.
By the way, Damon. Yeah. By the way, I have to eat crow already. I got to eat crow already because I didn't realize, because I didn't check out the entire card for the show on the 28th, but Elgin is indeed teaming with Tanahashi the very next night to take on Suzuki and Iizuka.
Well, there you go. All right. You know what? I'm going to call Big Mike and tell him you're shitting all over him.
I'm not shitting all over him. I think he's a great wrestler, but I think he's also bland and I don't know.
New tag champs, Tanahashi and Elgin. There you go. All right.
I mean, you could do that. It's just not something that really excites me.
I like it. I think it's a fun tag team. I think it's a real good tag team, actually.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. You're not a fan. What is next on this first show?
Well, that wraps it up for the first show, but I want to talk about a lot of the big matches on the second show because, again, this is a jam-packed weekend, folks. Lots of pro wrestling of all different shapes and sizes and flavors going on this weekend.
What the fuck else is going on?
Well, the Rumble. and I think there might be a UFC show, but...
Is there a UFC show too? Wow.
I think there could be. I don't know, but
NXT, you know what? Philly has. I'm right there. I could go to every one of these fucking shows. NXT is Saturday.
Yeah, see.
Rumble Sunday, Raw and SmackDown. They got the building booked four nights in a row.
Yeah, there you go. You should go to all four nights, Damon.
If somebody comps me a ticket, I'll fucking go. I ain't paying for that shit. All right.
You should bring a PyroCast sign.
Yeah, why don't somebody? Can somebody do that? I've never seen that. I never, you know, just once.
Yeah,
just
if you're if you're attending either this NXT show, the Rumble, whatever, bring a PyroCast sign and it could even just be a reference. It could say hashtag pants down.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Do that.
Or I have a picture of my fat face. Picture of me, you know how they hold the big face sign.
I don't know if they'd if they'd allow that in or not.
Yeah,
they don't want that on the hard camera. Believe me.
I'll pay cash money. I'll pay $20 to anybody I see, with any references to the show. If you make it on fucking camera, I gotta see it though. I can't, you know, and I'm not paying everybody and their mother. But if I see it, you get a hold of us.
What is our Baba Booey, by the way? Like, what's our, you know, the one thing that you could shout out? Do you think it's pants down?
Yeah, but that's nobody's gonna fucking. I guess you could. I don't want to shout. I'm a sign. I need a sign.
Okay.
I need signage. I need you to hit the ring.
No, we are not advocating anyone hit the ring.
Yeah, please do not do that.
You will get roughed up and arrested. But
yes.
We got some big matches though on this second night of the new beginning, Sunday the 28th. Of course, Omega defending against Jay White, U.S. title on the line. Do you see a title change there?
I'll have to be truthful. It depends on what they do with the Intercontinental. Not going to change both.
No, and not only that, I have this fantasy in my mind of a title versus title match. We've got that U.S. champion Kenny Omega versus the heavyweight champion Okada. I think that would be that would be a huge match that I think people would fly in for. So that's another thing I kind of have in my booking booklet, Damon.
Your booking booklet. I don't know. Again, they just created this belt. I can't see any type of merging happening.
No, not merging.
Well, title versus title. Somebody's got to win it, right? So you're carrying both of them?
Right.
All right.
Once you win one, you can relinquish the other one. Whatever.
Right.
Lots of stuff you can do.
I don't know if we're seeing a title change here, which is weird because that'll mean Jay White is 0-2 in title challenges. In less than 6 months, he's 0-2.
Well, look at Juice. He challenged for the NEVER title, I believe, against Goto. He lost there. What else did he challenge for? I feel like he challenged Omega for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
So Juice is another young guy who has challenged for multiple titles and lost.
Yeah. Do you think they put a little bit more into the effort of Jay White though? A lot of bill for Jay White.
Well, obviously, since he was third from the top in the Tokyo Dome.
I almost think they have to give him the belt here.
They don't.
I really do. Yeah.
It does seem like that, considering. Listen, I think if nothing else, this is going to be a much better opportunity for Jay White to really shine and show what he's made of in a big main event position than the Tanahashi match that he had at the Tokyo Dome, because that match, you know, as good as it was, which it was a very good match, it's just, no, it did not belong there. But I feel like this is going to be a better, just a better opportunity for Jay White to show what he's made of.
I agree. I'm just mulling over my head. Do they make the switch?
You can. Jay White can still get over here, though, without winning the title. I think Omega's going to make him look like $1 million.
That was the job Tanahashi was supposed to do.
Yeah, well, that didn't that didn't go as planned. And again, I think that had so much to do with the stage they were on, more than it did with Tanahashi.
The stage, the match, where, you know, it came right after that junior car crash.
What a bad idea. I'll just be blunt. What a bad idea on paper, and what a bad idea it turned out to be.
They rolled the dice. Con, I almost think that they have to make the switch here. I can't imagine Jay going 0-2 in less than 6 months on title defense.
Kenny
title
Omega champ. Is not losing this title to Jay White. I'm sorry.
Why not?
Because he's Kenny Omega. He's the number. He's the biggest gaijin in the company. He's number one as far as an American audience goes, a North American audience. He's part of your big four. He's not dropping this title to Jay White, who was a young lion, who was at ringside not all that long ago. You know what I mean? Not all that long ago, he was at ringside in a tracksuit, and now he's beating Kenny Omega, one of the top guys in the company. I'm sorry,
hey, look,
I don't see it.
Juice did it.
Yeah, in the
evil,
G1.
Evil, all right, that, Evil beat Okada.
Yeah, that's something. You could easily do that in the G1. Jay White could beat Omega in the G1.
So
Yano could beat Omega in the G1.
The U.S. title is all of a sudden this prestigious fucking title.
Listen, it has been protected thus far. Omega won that thing against Ishii in a 4¾ star match in Long Beach. That was in July. He's defended it against Juice. He's defended it against Beretta. He's had a lot
Who
of good
needs
matches.
To win more? Jay White needs to win more.
He doesn't have to, though. He can still get
he
over
needs
here.
More. Colin, he loses here. Where do you go with this guy? I mean, what's the purpose of a feud? He's got to win.
All right, I don't see it.
Just
but...
saying, like, what's the like? Honestly, Kenny Omega losing here would do zilch. He's still the hottest guy in the fucking world, right? In more ways than one. he's still on top of the world. Jay White loses again.
It's not gonna hurt him. He's gonna come out looking like $1 million against Omega. No pun intended. $1 million. Get it?
I did get it. I don't know. I'm on the other side of the fence, man. I'm sure we'll get comments. I'm sure we'll get tweets. I'm sure we'll get the usual fare when we split on things like this. But I'm going to be truthful. I can't see how a Jay White win is a trillion times more important than an Omega loss here.
I see where you're coming from. I really do. I do get your perspective. But the biggest issue to me with Jay White, and it's always been this, he is not believable to me. Like, I did not believe for
a second.
That's
how you make him believable, though. But that's how you make him believable.
Yeah, right. But you listen, you can do that without Omega having to drop this title.
Is it that important that Omega has this title?
No, truth be told, no. It's not that important, but if you want... All right.
It's not like... It's not like in the next year... Like, look, it's not like... Strong Style Evolve.
Strong Style Evolve, which tickets, I think, go on sale the 25th of this month.
29th,
okay.
It's 29th. It's not like... You know, that's not going to sell out with Kenny Omega not being the U.S. champion.
But I do think that that is a show... Where the U.S. title, I mean, wasn't that what they created this IWGP U.S. title for in the first place? So it could headline shows like that in California?
One a year?
And you're telling me Jay White's gonna headline it?
I mean, I'm not saying he's gonna headline. I mean, I don't know. The idea of a U.S. IWGP title defense being the draw, I don't see that. It's the Omegas of the world that are the draws, and the Bucks and the Codys and the other New Japan guys that are being brought in, if it's Okada, if it's Tanahashi, if it's Naito. It doesn't mean a thing if Jay White is defending the IWGP U.S. title. Doesn't matter. That's not bringing the house. The house is already established with the people that were mentioned before.
All right, well, listen, we'll see what happens. I just think that the U.S. title means a lot more around the waist of Kenny Omega than it would around the waist of Jay White as of now.
And again, I just think that you're doing more harm having Jay White lose than having Kenny Omega lose.
Even if he has an excellent match against Omega and comes out looking great.
Yeah.
See if that happens, then to me he'll be a real contender. If he has a blowaway match with Omega. And
but
loses.
He beat him. But like so again, we're talking like. You know, we're getting out our Pro Wrestling Illustrateds now. But if
Jay White, right now, as he is, has no business beating Omega. None.
He has, but that's how you make stars, Colin. Like, that's how, right. I would agree. But truth be told, when AJ Styles showed up and beat Okada and won the heavyweight championship, truth be told, that motherfucker had no right doing that.
Ah, you can't compare AJ Styles to Jay White.
Colin. If
one of the top performers in the world.
At that time?
Right now,
in
still.
TNA? No. At the time, at TNA, right? He was a fucking middle. He was a great worker, don't get me wrong. But he was middle of the fucking card.
I see where you're coming from.
You know, and him showing up in New Japan. Trust me. He on paper had absolutely no right winning that title.
Who is a better worker though, AJ Styles then AJ, or Jay White right now?
Probably AJ then. Not even probably AJ then. Yeah, but that's how you make stars, Colin. And the investment that they made in Jay White so far, now you got to go in. All right, now you know it's like you can't bail out now. I just think a loss. In less than 6 months against the top two guys. And again, you're trying to establish a feud here with Jay White laying out Omega at New Year Dash, you know, kind of hiring, I'll put in air quotes, chaos to back him up in this feud as he tries to... Listen, he loses here. Guess who he turns into? He turns into the fucking Yoshitatsu.
I don't see it as being that extreme.
He turns into fucking Yoshitatsu. He turns into Bullet Club Hunter, who can't fucking do shit.
The way you're talking, though, you're making it seem like there is no possible way for Jay White to get over in this match unless he wins. Like, there's no way for him to get over.
He can, but where does it go from here if he loses? Like, what do? Have a rematch? You lost. It's already been established. Now who are you feuding with? Hangman Page?
No, you can have him go. What?
He lost the match. If he loses against Omega, why would they even have another match? He lost. And he lost against Tanahashi at the Dome.
So if he loses, he's dead.
Again, not dead.
You're going to go on record saying he's...
I'm not saying dead, but where do you go? How do you rekindle the fire on a feud that is literally less than a month old? You squashed the feud at that point. Omega wins, that's that. We're done, right? Right?
Omega wins, he's moving on, Jay White's moving on.
Okay, so Jay White has now moved on to three separate spots, two of which he's lost.
You know what, Damon? I think Jay White should beat Omega. I think he should win the New Japan Cup and beat Okada. I think he should hold the heavyweight title, the U.S. title, he should just have all the titles. Let's build the company around Jay White, actually. Let's do that.
That's what
it sounds like we're going here.
That's not. I'm saying we do that with Michael Elk.
Yeah, right. You're tough guys in this company are.
They're moneymakers. That's what.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying you make him a top. Yeah, you put him in this position. It's not like they didn't know this isn't what they wanted, right?
And then Jay White and Elgin could be the heavyweight tag champions.
Let's look Harry Moore.
They could be the Never Trios
Japan.
Champions
they're gonna feed Joe Doring.
Yeah,
it's gonna be. Look again. This is what they want. It's not like they want to just throw away what they've built up with Jay White right now, right? Why would they do that? Why would they throw everything away?
Okay, I don't see it as throwing it away, but.
Then tell me, where do we go from here? How do we continue a Bullet Club feud with Jay White involved if Omega gets the win?
I don't have an answer for that at this moment.
Right.
Maybe Ghetto has an answer.
Well, maybe he does. He always seems to have the answer.
He's pretty clever.
I can't see it, but again, we're beating a dead horse. I'm sure we'll get people chiming. Chime in, everyone. This is your opportunity.
Yeah, please.
Go ahead. Fire away.
Please, by all means. Semi-main event for this show. We got the Bucks defending against Sho and Yo. Listen, I'm gonna say in this feud with the Bucks and Sho and Yo, I'm gonna say that third time is gonna be a charm for Sho and Yo. I don't see them regaining the titles so soon.
Yeah, I would think not either. It is the junior titles, mind you. But I think actually Jay White and Michael Elgin win the junior.
Yeah, I think they should. Absolutely. Let's build the company around those two.
I'm down. This, I think, it's a great idea. Bucks defend successfully, I'll say. And I think it's going to be a great match.
We've also got a 10-man tag that I feel like we just saw, but I guess we didn't. Ghetto, Ospreay, Yoshihashi, Goto, and Okada taking on L.I.J.
We have seen this match a million times, right? In Corkins and all over the great country of Japan. It'll be fine. I mean, again, we've seen it 1,000 times before. I know we're building toward different people, feuding with different people. Can't say I'm particularly excited, truth be told. It does feel like we've seen these things before, though. That's for sure. It'll be good.
Well, we've also got another. Go ahead.
That's a semi-main?
No. Semi-main's the Bucks match. This is third from the top. I'm kind of working my way down to the bottom of the card here. Another familiar match. Feels like we just saw this one. Kushida, Finley, and Ibushi taking on Skrull, Page, and Cody. Here's the thing, Damon. Here is another reason why I don't think Omega is dropping this title. I really believe that we're going to see Cody challenge for the title.
Yeah, I think there's got to be some type of interaction there. I don't know necessarily if it has to be for a title, though. It
doesn't have to be for a title, but...
You think Cody's walking away with that? You think Cody has a better chance of being the IWGP U.S. champion this year than Jay White?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think he has a much better shot at that.
I can see that.
And I still say...
That's the one thing you got in your favor in that little argument, by the way. That's one thing you definitely have in
it's
your
favor.
It's
a pretty big thing in my favor.
It is a big favor. It is. It's a big thing. I can see Cody working some independent wrestling shows here in the United States. I can see him working some, and again, not that they're independent, but I can see him walking in the Ring of Honor wearing that strap. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Doesn't change my mind, but I could see that. All right.
And we've also got your favorite match on this card here, the team of Elgin and Tanahashi.
Yeah. New tag team champs right there, brother.
Yeah, that's right, versus Iizuka and Suzuki.
Well, I think we all know who's lying down in this match. Don't say that, Michael.
Big Mike, right? Big Mike taps out.
He taps out?
Yeah, to Suzuki.
Wow.
Passes out.
Passes out. Shit.
Ref stoppage.
Fuck. All right. No, I think it's Iizuka.
Of course.
And I don't know. The way that I really feel like that smells like a title change with Suzuki even more. Yeah.
I think you're onto something with that Suzuki title change.
I do.
I'll give you that.
I feel that one. Okay. All right. I think that's who's taking the fall there. I think that's going to be good, too. I'm looking forward to that one as well.
And the rest of the card, what have we got here? Just to go over it quickly, Hanare, Kojima, Tenzan, Makabe versus Chase, G.O.D. and Fall A.
Okay.
Yano and Ishii again versus Leo Tonga, who has a new name, apparently.
Another new name?
Now, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but it looks as if they are billing him as Hikyu Leo.
What?
Hikyu Leo. H-I-K-U-L-E-O.
Sounds like a provocative text I might get at 11 o'clock at night.
Hikyu Leo.
I'll be like, yes, I'll see you at the bar.
Him and Yujiro.
First of all, enough of the name changes. Two, I got stuck on the name. What is this fucking match, Colin?
Yano and Ishii.
All right.
Versus Leo Tonga and Yujiro.
Okay. Well, again, what has you frightened is Ishii and Yano.
It doesn't have me frightened. I just listen.
It's a lot of Ishii and Yano there.
Go ahead, do it. I would just prefer Ishii be built up for the New Japan Cup. That's all.
Okay. Well, both nights they're joined at the hip. So, all right. Not excited for that. But let's. What else? Any other highlights that we need to talk about here?
Yeah, Juice versus Kitamura.
Ah, Juice, is he opening the show, Colin?
He is.
Oh, what about Pecking Order?
Opening the show.
Pecking Order?
Against Kitamura. Well, this is different, Damon.
This one's different?
Because this falls on the 28th of the month on a Sunday. And on Sundays, the Pecking Order doesn't count because it's the day of rest.
Gotcha. Okay.
You follow me?
It's
logical, right?
Listen, you got it. Whatever floats the boat. All I know is that seems to me,
and the Rumble's going on, so yeah. that right? also plays into the
right. That's the one Kenny Omega shows up at, right?
Right. Gotcha. He's gonna take the what do you call it? The what was that thing? The Concord. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if that's still a thing. I wish it were. Oh, I'd be on that motherfucker.
Awesome.
All right. Now listen, I'm just saying we spent a good little while there talking about how Pecking Orders and shit like that. All right. Well, Juice gets the win there as well. So
well,
unfortunately,
not not for nothing. Look, listen, Elgin is in the same position as Juice the night before. The alleged number two Gaijin in the company is in the mm-hmm. same position as Juice Robinson.
Okay. Right. Give me your pecking order. Finalize that for me. Give me your top three Gaijin. Go.
Kenny Omega, number one.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega, number two.
He's saying, "Oh, you give me a Will Ospreay in there."
Kenny Omega. Yeah. Well, listen, if we're counting juniors, I consider Ospreay in the top three for sure.
All right. Juice in there? Juice in the top three?
Probably not.
Okay. Is Elgin?
I consider Juice and Elgin almost on the same level.
I do too. Right now, I do too. Top three.
And that would not be the number two Gaijin, but there's another thing for our listeners to debate yes. amongst themselves. Lots of back and forth. I don't want to say arguing, but you know,
debate, strong debate.
Yeah,
how you like?
Yeah, some strong debates going on, and you know, that always sparks some healthy conversation amongst the listeners. So. Very good.
All right. Remind me not to go online this week.
Right. Well, Damon, guess what? I think that wraps up today's edition of the New Japan Purocast.
Good. I have to get in the shower. I have to go cover the Eagles-Vikings game. How exciting.
The Eagles?
Yeah, I know. What is that? Yeah, that's right. I got to go do it. It's going to be a zoo over there.
The only Eagles that I like are the one that Joe Walsh is a part of.
Don Henley.
Yeah. I like those Eagles.
All right. Well, listen, I have work to do. So let's put a bow in this, Colin. Good show as always.
All righty. Very good. So two big new beginning shows to look forward to next weekend. And, of course, if you have some downtime, check out Fantasticomania. If that's your thing, on NJPWWorld.com. Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com. All the links are up there to Facebook, Twitter, the RSS feed, iTunes, Stitcher, Voices of Wrestling. No shortage of ways to listen to us. And once again, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all the support. I'm always blown away looking at the analytics for just a great melting pot of different cultures, you know, that... we have created here, and we gather together as a family, right? You know what I'm trying to say. We're bringing together people from all over the world to appreciate this this great art that is New Japan Pro Wrestling. So always awesome to see. Thank you so much, folks. Damon, any other final words from you today before you head off to see? To see the Eagles lose to the Vikings.
Wow. A lot of Philly fans are going to give you some heat for that one. I think the Eagles win, actually. I think they go to the Super Bowl.
Really?
I will not be there. Yes, final word. Shockingly, I will be making a guest appearance, Colin, I don't know if you know this, on the great Joe Gagne of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. He has a little podcast he likes to call The Match Game. Five-star match game, if I'm not mistaken. And it's me. It's a trivia contest, mind you, on New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I go against that Joe Lanza.
Who?
So, yeah, right.
I've spoken with him before.
What a great guy. We had a blast. And I know a lot of people have tweeted us before and said, hey, you know what would be awesome is a little meeting of Damon and Joe Lanza. What radio gold that would be. Well, guess what, kids? You got it. He beats. Well, you know what? I'm not gonna spoil it. But
well, you kind of just did. But
I kind of just did. But it's a feisty competition. I listen. I held my own to a certain point, and then things got off the rails. But it's a fun show. I guarantee you, you'll have at least a laugh, or two. And that should be coming out this week as well. So look for that. It's the Joe Gagne's five-star match game with myself and the great. And again, when we talk about podcasts, let's be honest here. That flagship show, that's the flagship. That's the flagship. That's the standard of fan-produced pro wrestling shows. So it was an honor to finally get to talk to him. And good time. So, again, look out for that coming this week. Five-star match game with Joe Gagne.
All right, very good. So, on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We shall catch you guys right here next weekend to talk all about the new beginning in Sapporo. Have a great week, guys.